Good morning. Will you please stand and join me in the call to worship as printed in your bulletin? I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." We are blessed to be called children of God. Let us join in the worship of God who is with us always. Please join now in our song of worship number 10, "All Glory Be to God on High." Thank you. pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. We ask your blessing on our worship today, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Welcome you to our worship service today and are glad you're here on this delightful weekend in June. We have some things going on in the life of the church tonight. We will continue in our summer preaching series. We will hear a sermon from Dr. Fred Craddock, who comes from the Candler School of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta and is a Disciples of Christ preacher. And afterwards, we're going to have ice cream. And we welcome you to come, both for the sermon, the discussion, and for the ice cream. I would like to say that in the last newsletter, I mentioned that we have the opportunity to send some support greetings to some of our missionaries in Thailand. Dr. Francesca Nutzlese is going to be going to the Baptist World Alliance, which is in early July in Bangkok. And she's a professor at Methodist Seminary and would be glad to take some of those greetings with us. We have a couple of cards on a table in the fellowship time area. Please feel free to sign those cards, or if there's any other kind of notice of support or greeting you would like to give, bring it tonight, because she will be here. And we'll have the opportunity to talk to her, too, as we have fellowship time. There are other things in our bulletin to mention. Second Friday's meal at Andrew's house will be on July 14th. Make your calendar clear to participate in serving that meal. The guests begin to come at 5:30. That's at Andrew's house. Also, our second annual Delaware Family Festival block party will be on July the 15th. Notice how those two are close together, Friday night and Saturday. So you can plan the weekend. It will be on Winter Street from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., and we're excited about that. We will be sharing in the lawn games again, and also we're collecting water, bottled water, so that we make sure that everybody can stay hydrated while we're having fun. And we invite you all to come to that also. Don't forget there are sign-up sheets in the gathering space, and we are happy whenever somebody signs up to participate in the life of the church and some of the things that go on during the week. Our missions emphasis for the month. Let me talk about the missions emphasis for next month, which will be collecting school supplies for Conger Elementary School. And we just want you to see there in your bulletin to see the kind of things we're collecting and be prepared for that, because believe it or not, next Sunday is July. I have a hard time believing that time has passed. It seemed like it was Christmas just a week ago. Our mission's emphasis for this month is the One Great Hour of Sharing. And our goal is $700, and we're on our last Sunday, and we have $350. So we're hoping to get close today. I think there's a good chance we'll let that run on into July a little bit, as we hope to raise funds to help those who have been the victims of disaster, that are refugees, that need material help. Even as we ourselves very often don't need the material help because we are comfortable. We do have a missions moment about the One Great Hour of Sharing. Larry and David are going to come and share that with us now.
Pretty happy, Larry. What's up?
Well, I just had the best summer traveling.
Oh, microphone.
There's too many things in my hands. Well, I just had the best summer traveling all over the world. I'm posting notes on the map so I can recall all the places I've experienced and the amazing people that I've encountered along the way.
You traveled the world. I saw you sitting in the pool all summer, and when you weren't there, you were plugging at Starbucks surfing the internet. Did I miss something here? I didn't know you had a passport.
Well, I traveled all the way to Ghana, and my family and I helped with water irrigation projects so folks could have clean water nearby without having to travel miles to fetch it. There was this young girl there who couldn't go to school because she had to spend time hauling water. But now she can go to school because of our help. That makes me feel wonderful.
So let me get this straight. You spent your summer helping family in Ghana get accessible water?
Yep.
You, the same Larry who texts me while I'm sitting right next to him. You, the same Larry that pays your little brother to do your chores for you. You did all that?
Yeah. That's right. I'm a changed person.
In one summer?
Nope. In 1 hour.
Huh? Well, you're starting to worry me now. In 1 hour?
Yes. One great hour of sharing. I went to church with my family, and we learned all about ways we can help make a difference in the world through our offerings. A gift to One Great Hour of Sharing enables the church to share God's love with our neighbors in need around the world by providing relief to those affected by natural disasters, providing food to the hungry, and helping to empower the poor and the oppressed.
That's pretty awesome, Larry. I'm actually proud of you. In fact, it sounds well like the scripture my parents were quoting around. And quoting all the time, actually. I think it's from the book of Matthew, where Matthew quotes Jesus and said, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me."
Exactly, David. I may not have physically been in all these places, but through our giving, my family and I have been able to touch lives all over the world. When you saw me in Starbucks, I was reading the OGHS stories about those impacted communities.
That actually makes a lot of sense. I think I get the full picture now. Matthew also said that Jesus replied to this saying, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So I guess you could say you not only traveled the world this summer, but you hung out with Jesus too? Because you're here, I think God is here too.
Yes, I guess you can say that. Because we are here, God is here.
You know what, I'm going to tell my family about One Great Hour to Share so that we can travel the world too.
Hey, David, why don't you help me place some of these pins on the map and I can tell you more stories about the places I encountered this summer.
Sounds like a plan. Maybe after this, you can go to Starbucks.
All right, still an opportunity to give to One Great Hour of Sharing. Thank you.
Thank you. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, which is hymn number 43. Shall we stand and sing our song of praise this morning?
Let us worship now with our tithes and offerings. Will the ushers please come forward? Dear Lord, we stand humbly at your altar, bearing the fruits of our labors. Bless these gifts that they might be multiplied in service to your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As we gather this morning and we have this time of prayer, it is good to remember some of those who are not with us today. There are some who are struggling with health issues. Ken and Genevieve Peterson haven't been here for a while. Ken's having trouble walking, but he started physical therapy this week and hopes to get strong enough to be able to come back and see us on a Sunday. Ray Service is still struggling to recover from the procedure that was done to put a stent in, and that looks like that's going to take a little bit of time. So be in prayer for them and for all those who are traveling this weekend, which there are several, and we pray for their safety. Are there concerns that you would like to share with the congregation this morning?
I'd just like to share a joy. As financial secretary, it's a joy for me to be able to administer the special offerings and things like that. And maybe it's an announcement, but last week we raised $296 to go to Church World Service through our Tools for Hope offering on Father's Day. And that's in your newsletter. But that also goes to help people with disasters and things around the world. The difference between that and the One Great Hour of Sharing is that the One Great Hour of Sharing is administered by our American Baptist Convention and goes to American Baptist churches to help their friends and neighbors in times of crisis and need. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a praise as well, and it's kind of a, you know, it's not a huge story, but I just think, you know, we need to know that God has his messengers everywhere. And just a little story. I was in downtown Columbus this past week, and when I got out of my car where the parking was, you know, I fell into conversation with an older gentleman who was also coming back to his car. And so we just had a little exchange. And then I crossed the bridge, and I don't know if you're familiar with where they fixed all the fancy stuff on the pavement there, that area along the river where they fixed up. They have a wide sort of sidewalk there. So I was walking along that, and then this guy came along on a skateboard on one side. So of course I moved over to the other side quite quickly. I mean, you see, they just whizzed by there. And what I didn't realize was that they put up these signs that had these long feet that stuck out. So I completely fell over this and ended up in the street. And I couldn't catch myself. And, you know, sometimes almost nothing. But the amazing thing is that while I was sitting there, recovering myself to get up, this car pulled around, and it was the same man that I had talked to on the other side of the road. And he said, "I saw you lying in the street." He said, "I pulled around." You know, he came all the way around the block, you know, to see if I was all right. And I just thought, you know, isn't it wonderful that, you know, God just sends his messengers to be there, and, you know, if I had needed help, you know, he would have been there. I just thought it's just really a wonderful example of God's angels are everywhere.
Thank you. Let us continue to remember to pray for our country and its leaders and for those who serve. Shall we pray? Lord, we are thankful that you are everywhere we go with us, protecting us, guiding and leading us, bringing us courage and wisdom when courage and wisdom are needed, bringing us comfort and encouragement when comfort and encouragement are needed, giving us the resources that we might obey your will and do the things you've called us to do. We're thankful that you're here with us now, that even as we use human voices to speak, you are speaking to us, speaking to us through the scriptures and through the songs and through the messages of hope. And we pray that our minds and our hearts would be receptive to your message for us today. We pray that you would take care of our every need. Where there is a need of healing, that there would be the power of healing. Where there's a need for financial resources, that we would find that you have made them available. Where there is a need for relationships, we pray that the people that you have put in our lives would be our friends, and that we would know miracles of relationships. We confess that we do not always live up to the wonderful gift of your salvation. Sometimes we complain. Sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves. Sometimes we become dark because of hardships that have come our way. Sometimes we are faithless, and we ask for forgiveness and transformation for ourselves, for our church family, and for our county and city, for our country, and for our world. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In the faith we sing, number 2181 is We Need a Faith, and it is our song of meditation for this morning. Shall we stand together and sing?
Scripture reading this morning is Psalm 86, a prayer of David, a prayer of supplication. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am devoted to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord. For to you do I cry all day long. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my cry of supplication. In the day of my trouble I call on you, for you will answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and bow down before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart to revere your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, the insolent rise up against me. A band of ruffians seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant. Save the child of your serving girl. Show me a sign of your favor, so that those who hate me may see it and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. May God add a blessing to this reading of his holy word.
I was doing some channel surfing this week, and I came across an episode of MASH on TV Land, back from the late 1970s, I suppose, and I thought that I had seen every episode, but the scene that I encountered was one I don't remember. In it, a missionary doctor came to the hospital with a small child who had fallen and hit his head on a rock. And that caused what they called a subdural hematoma, which required surgery to relieve the pressure. And the missionary doctor told them that he was not a surgeon and asked them for their help. And they readily accepted the challenge. Before they operated, though, the missionary doctor prayed a prayer. And I'm sure that I have not remembered it verbatim, but it was along these lines. He said, "Lord, I thank you that these doctors are here in this time of need, in this place, and consider it an act of your providence. Bless their work that this one child may be spared." It was something like that. And just for a few minutes, they let the scene be silent. And those two doctors just stared at the doctor, almost in disbelief at what they had heard. You see, they were there because of a war. And the war had brought great destruction and great death to the people of Korea, to the people in that community. And if it wasn't for that war, they wouldn't have been there to save the child. Which they did, of course. There are two ways to look at a situation like that. And one thing you could say is, "Mark, that's a fiction." And I would say, "Yeah, that's a fiction, but things like that happen all the time." I think that was the insight that the writers of the show were trying to investigate and explore. And we're often given two ways of handling a situation like that. And one way is to ask the question, couldn't there have been another way to bring the doctors there so that less destruction could have been done and fewer people could have been injured and killed, so that these surgeons could be handy, so that when this child needed them, they could be there? Is that what providence means? Sometimes this is the way it feels, and there is complaining that often accompanies this perspective. On the other hand, though, one might see that things like wars are the product of human failure, and that God's providence is just simply not hindered by human failure. That even in the midst of great tragedy, one still sees the hand of God healing the sick and raising the dead. With this perspective, there is much rejoicing. In the Bible, we find both perspectives, interestingly enough. The Bible reveals its truth by telling the stories of people's lives, and we can have a couple of examples this morning, and actually, the two examples come straight out of the lectionary readings for today. One of the readings is from Jeremiah chapter 20, and one thinks about Jeremiah, a prophet of the end of Israel's civilization, whose poetry is some of the darkest in the whole Bible, some of it anyway. Jeremiah, although he does have some praises and some rejoicing, by and large was one of the complainers. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I have been deceived. You have overpowered me and prevailed. Everyone mocks me. He was caught in a kind of rhetorical catch-22. He said that when he speaks in the Lord's name, it only results in insults and reproach. But on the other hand, if he tries not to speak in the Lord's name, then the word of God boils up within him. He said it burns like a fire, and he cannot hold it in. In one breath, he praises God. Sing to the Lord, he says. Give praise to the Lord. God rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. But in his very next breath, he curses the day he was born. May the day my mother bare me not be blessed. I've always known that text. But there's a verse in between that text and its little conclusion, or at least there's a verse that accompanies it, that is very astonishing. He actually pronounces a curse on his father because his father failed to kill him when he was still in his mother's womb. Literally desires his mother as his grave, he says, why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and sorrow and to end my days in shame? That's about as dark as you can get. What does one say to that? If one is not overtaken by the sadness of it, then it is at least difficult not to see the contradiction of praise and complaining. Just from one verse to the next. It is as if Jeremiah's conclusion is that God is wonderful and great, but the life that we have been given is horrible and tragic. I'm not inclined to say much to that kind of complaining because words are just simply unable to carry the freight when somebody is grieving that deeply. I've grieved before, and I have said things that I didn't really even mean, and I knew I didn't mean them when I said them, but they came out nonetheless. Maybe you've had that experience. Jeremiah's situation was more tragic than most of ours most of the time. But nevertheless, sometimes life does feel that way, like the world is coming to an end. Even Jesus sometimes spoke in tragic terms, or at least you can see that he addresses the tragedy of life. Like many after him, Jesus had a hard time with the idea that things could keep going the way they were going without some kind of an end coming, because the disharmonies and the inequities of life are so devastating they could not possibly persist. He was warning his disciples about the end. In the text for today from Matthew chapter 10, he says, he hints at the tragedy. He says, "Do you suppose that I've come to bring peace? I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. And anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." As familiar as these words are, they run counter to the way we ordinarily think about things most of the time. Most of the time we approach our family by loving them more than we love anything else. And our project is to enhance and preserve and extend our own lives at almost any cost. Jesus seems to imply the opposite is what is needed. These tragic expressions of life and of the nature of life make sense in view of our experience. We face it every day. This morning, I got up and I got my phone out. I was going to say I turned on the news, but I didn't. I just checked my phone. I guess I'm giving in. I wanted to know if something had happened overnight that it would be good for me to know about, because I didn't want any of you to say, "Did you hear about?" And no one has said, "Did you hear about?" Because sometimes when the tragedy of life is far away, we don't seem to be as concerned about it. So the headline was, "Tanker explosion kills hundreds." And I thought, I wonder where that happened. And so I pushed, you touch the screen, it comes up. Turns out it was in Pakistan, which probably means it won't get as much play in the news as if it had been in some place like Dallas or Detroit, someplace closer to home. But there is something like that almost every day. So one is very impressed, not by the complaining, which just seems to be ordinary, but by expressions of praise and gratitude. Given the nature of life is tragic, trouble and sorrow followed by death, where do these expressions of praise come from? How does one come to such an outpouring of praise as what we found when we heard the 86th Psalm? And that brings us to King David. The great king of Israel during her golden age. Many of the Psalms are associated with him and at the very least picture him at certain stages of his life. And David had a lot of tragedy in his life, and he also did a little of his own complaining. But if I had to say, I would say that by and large, David is one of the rejoicers. He is one of the ones who saw the blessed side of life and proclaimed it. The 86th Psalm envisions David at the height of his journey. And I think it helps. It helps us in our quest to answer the question, where does praise come from? And it's interesting. The psalm starts with a confession. And the confession is, "Help me, I am poor and needy." And since David was not poor and needy in the material sense, we must acknowledge that after a manner, everyone is poor and needy. This may sound like an affront to the poor who have material needs, but in actuality it expresses a spiritual truth about everyone. We are needy before God. And then David makes a number of acknowledgments in this psalm. "You are forgiving and good, O Lord," he says, "abounding in love to all who call on you. You are great and do marvelous deeds. Great is your love toward me, for you have delivered me from the depths of the grave. See, the blessed side of life is also a part of our experience. Part of being a Christian and part of what it means to pursue the spiritual life is to open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to the blessed side of life so we can see it. It's there. If one pays attention, the experience of mercy and goodness in times of trouble is planted like a seed, which grows up to praise and gratitude, which are the only appropriate responses to it. Even in nasty situations like a war, there are redemptive things that happen. Because the doctors had a chance to save some lives, to save a life. The result is a steadfast hope that is not threatened by dire circumstances, but enlivened by them instead, like that old missionary doctor who gave thanks. Because when trouble is near, the Lord is nearer still. Jeremiah's complaining speaks to the tragedy, and it maybe helps. It helps me because it gives voice to the grief that sometimes wells up in us. It's a way of coping and healing. David's joy, on the other hand, speaks to the experience of God's presence in troubled times, always delivering, always healing, always saving, always raising up. I suppose one of the convictions of the Christian faith is that there are two reasons that for everything that happens, one of the reasons is human. Human beings do things that have implications and consequences. The other reason is divine. God also has a purpose for what happens. And God is the one who can redeem the human blundering, and does. When we are focused on human reasons, sooner or later we're going to complain. But we focus on our attention on what God is doing, and in time we find that rejoicing comes. And in the end, the gospel message for us is that the rejoicing wins. That the rejoicing defeats the complaining. So take heart and call out to the Lord like David did, like Jesus did. God is forgiving and good, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Pay no attention, the psalm tells us, to the arrogant ones, the ruthless ones, the ones who pay no regard to God. For surely the people will turn and worship. For surely we will turn and worship. For surely at some time, the resurrection itself will overcome us, and we will bring glory to God's name. Shall we pray? Lord, we are thankful because we have people in the Bible who experienced more difficult times than we have experienced. And their message to us is that it's okay to grieve, okay to be sad, okay to complain. But what we truly are thankful for is that they also have a message of hope that defeats the sorrow, the victory of life, the victory of light, the victory of goodness, which they proclaim to us, and which we also experience in our own lives. And we pray that as we leave this place, and as we go forth out into this world that you have placed us in, our eyes and our ears would be able to see and to hear the resurrection, the love that you have shared with us, the goodness which you have done to us, and that it would bring great joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number 2241 in The Faith We Sing, "The Spirit Sends Us Forth to Serve," is our hymn of dedication this morning. Shall we stand together and sing? Forget, there are sign-up sheets in the gathering space and also cards to sign for some of our missionaries. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day and for the time that we now have to go and be a part of it. We ask your blessing upon us as we leave, that we might be filled up with the blessing of life, and with the knowledge of the love that you have given to us, and with great rejoicing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Send on to
Thank you. communion Sunday, we do a different response after the offering. She's already out of here. Offering doxology. Okay. Never mind. I was going to see for a moment, but I'm going to be helping Sunbury Church. They need to work on Tuesday Sunday's time. So, whatever I can prepare here, I'll just play over there. But their organ is in a it's got the two levels, but it's got these buttons on the bottom where you can press that.
Yeah.
And they've got all these things that you press down on the top that can stop. And, you know, we've got one, two. I've got to go over there and spend some time and learn what to push down when I press him. Well, I will still be here. I'll be in choir. I'll substitute for Mary Lou. She gave him my number and she said, actually, she signed a couple of and I get pretty good on her. So, there might be some months where it doesn't work out for I'm able to help. But there was an looking for help. And they also have built in. Yeah. They have three different